It is good to be with you and worship with you and sing with you in English. Spanish is great. I love Spanish. There's a lot of cool words in Spanish that y'all don't get to use. But there's just something about singing and worshiping in your own language that is nice to do from time to time. So it's good to be with Palm Beach Lakes and be able to be here and talk about the work that's going on in Paraguay. Like Dan was saying, we talked about the mechanics and kind of the day-to-day, and you got to see pictures and that kind of thing. This morning, I regret to inform you, there's no pictures. We're just going to look at the Bible. If you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, we'll park there for a while. But we're going to look at more of mission work from how God has seen it and how the church continues to grow. Because we're down there working with the church and helping it continue to grow and to eventually be in the point where we can step away and it does what the church is supposed to do. It's doing that now, but it needs our help in that capacity. But it's getting to where we're working to the point where we can back away from it. And when I say we, as I mentioned this morning, and you'll see even in this text, when Paul talks about it, he talks about we, the work that we are doing. So when I say we, it includes the congregation here at Palm Beach Lakes. You know, when we first came here, and y'all didn't know it, but y'all were looking for a youth minister at the time. we were interviewing with the elders, and you know, we told them we were looking for a congregation to send us into the mission field, and they said we're looking for our own missionary. And so things kind of worked out by God's blessing. And so we are working in Paraguay in Asunción. In Ephesians chapter 4, we have this verse in verse 11 that is very interesting. He says, "And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers." And we know what these words are, right? We know that apostles were those elect that were chosen for a specific purpose by God to do what? But to teach. To teach in that first time, to preach on the day of Pentecost and spread the message. They were those elect that were with Christ. And we know what prophets are, and we know that they are inspired mouthpieces of God. And sometimes we have an aspect of where that maybe the prophets were the guys that had the crystal ball and tell us what's going on in the future. And there were some of that, but the prophets were those who were the mouthpiece of God and inspired in that aspect. Evangelists are those who spread the gospel and spread the good news, and we strive to be that today. And some as pastors and teachers. We know that pastors are bishops, overseers, elders, shepherds are other words for that same office. And you have those here, and they guard the flock and watch over it. And teachers. For what? Verse 12. For what? For the equipping, that's exactly right, the equipping and the building up of the saints for the work of service. Now, this word has to do with equipping somebody for something. And if you're going to do something, you need specific tools for doing a job. And when we're building a congregation and you're working with God in that capacity, what tools did He provide for us? What tools did He provide? If I said 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, would you know what tools we're talking about? All scriptures inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, for the training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate or thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so when we're working in Paraguay, there's lots of things you can do, but the tool belt that you use in working with the church is the Word of God. He designed people to spread His message and use the Word of God for the building up, for the edifying of the church, so that the saints are ready to work for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. To building up. And we get to be a part of that. We get to be a part of such a great, great aspect in our lives, a great, great privilege to be servants of God. You know, you can be called, you know, we all wear titles, don't we? You have a job and you have a title in your job, and some of us are dads, aunts, and uncles. We all have titles, but the privileged title that we can wear is Christian, servant of God. Look over in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 10, talking about the privilege to have and talk about salvation, the privilege to talk about the salvation that God has afforded to us. In verse 10, he says, "As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful search and inquiry." And Dan mentioned the Psalms that talk about the things of God and of Christ in the future. And we think of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. So much of Isaiah is dedicated to Christ. You think of Isaiah 53 and the suffering on the cross, the things that were foretold so long ago. And the prophets were able to see that, but they didn't know exactly what was going to happen, how that was going to unfold. And so much so, in verse 11, "seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow." We get to be a part of that. We get to be a part of that. In verse 12, "it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you." How far-reaching the aspect of that. They weren't serving themselves in this message they were giving, that they were serving you. And we get to be a part of spreading that message. Palm Beach Lakes is spreading that message in Paraguay. "But you in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit as it was spread in the first century, sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look into." You know, we think of angels sometimes as maybe the guys that are up in heaven watching the cosmic 42-inch plasma screen TV with popcorn, seeing how the history of man's going to unfold sometimes, right? Angels get to see everything, but they didn't know this. God had a plan for man's salvation. Angels were there when man sinned, and the angels think, what's going to happen next? They didn't get to see this. It was preached, but they didn't know how it was going to unfold. And we get to be a part of that. What a blessing to be working in that capacity. Verse 13 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. "Until we all," and Paul uses this word we, several times in this passage. "Until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ." And so here is this building up and edifying of the church. To what point? You know, sometimes we can say, you may see people who kind of act like this. You know, "I have arrived as a Christian. I have gotten to a point in my Christianity to where God deserves me." Is that the right attitude? Probably not. But what do we continue to do? We can't park in one spot and say, this is sufficient. This is enough. Did God ever park in one spot in the history of man and say, this is just enough? He gave all for us. "Until we all attain the unity of faith to a mature stature." We have Christ, fullness of Christ is our example. As we look for that example. You know, in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, we have a passage of Scripture that's great. That gives us an idea that even then there are people that need to continue to grow. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Concerning him, talking about Christ, who was a prophet, was priest and king according to the order of Melchizedek. He said, "We want to talk more about that. It is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have been in need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of only milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern both good and evil." And so I mentioned before in Bible class hour that we're working with a congregation that in a lot of ways is a Christian nursery. Because you have Christians or people who have not been Christians very long and they're continuing to grow, but you know how that is. You are a Christian yourself. And the changes that you went through, you put on Christ and those sins have been washed away, but you've got to change your life. You've got to change about the former man and put on the new man. And so we're helping people come to that realization, helping them work through that process. And sometimes they're strong and doing great, and sometimes we have to go visit them and saying, "Where have you been? The church has been missing you." And help them through those things that they're struggling with. Help them mature in the maturing process. There's a measure, there's a standard. In John chapter 12, verse 48, Christ said, the words that I speak will judge you in the last day. And so the words of God, there's a measure there that we have to look for to and study and build ourselves up in so that we can be there. As a result, in verse 14, what's the result? What's the bottom line? As a result, we are no longer to be children. God expects us to grow. When your children are born, parents, did they continue to grow despite your help? They did, didn't they? Some of you have grown quite a bit since we've been gone. Josiah's comment about a certain young man he used to play with was, he's huge, and he needs a haircut. But that was Josiah's perception. I'm not saying you have to have a haircut. Just telling you. So we continue to grow. It's natural, right? It happens. What about school, parents? Do you ever get to a point in school with your children where you say, ah, sixth grade's good. People have made it with less. Would we do that? Probably not. Probably not. But what about as Christians, the most important thing? Do we need them to continue to grow? And do we need to continue to grow? Yes, we do. No longer children. Why? Why? You know, we've been here for almost 9 weeks. It'll be a little over 9 weeks. And the kids get to watch cartoons in the morning, you know, and cartoons in English and stuff. And what has grabbed their attention most has been infomercials. You know, the one about the toothpaste thing that squeezes it at the end so you can get every last drop of that toothpaste tube. Vivian said, Dad, you need that. You need that. You've got to have that. But what's happening? Commercialism, right? They know how to grab kids in and get them and sway them. Go to your parents and talk about this thing and those kind of things. But children, they're easily influenced. And it's no less so in the faith. You know, people get ideas in their heads or hear things from other people and they get swayed. And it's not unlike what has happened even in the first century. And he says, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves of carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. We do not need to be in a situation where this can take us away. So that's part of the work. You know, we learn a lot about what it is to be missionaries on paper, and we've read books and we've studied what it means to be a missionary. But when you go to the missionary field or you go to and you start putting that in practice, you learn even more about what it means. In Galatians chapter 1, here's a good example of this. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, when Paul is talking or writing this letter to the church in Galatia, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, he says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. For a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. And he goes on to say that even if I or an angel from heaven preach any other thing that's been preached unto you, let him be accursed. He says it twice, just to be clear, right? So it is important that we understand that there are people out there who are even in the first century, when they had the Holy Spirit telling them exactly what they needed to do, there were people then who were trying to change the message. And there are people today who are trying to change the message. And we're in Paraguay and we're teaching the simple message. There's been a couple actually, that have visited us recently. They have studied themselves out of Catholicism. Catholicism is a religion that's not a religion of Bible study. It's a religion of tradition and dogma. And I'm not being me. I'm just telling you that's just how it is. And they would tell you that. And then there are other religions there. And they've studied themselves out of Catholicism. And they've gone to other denominational groups. And they kind of saw things they didn't like. And they found us. And they worshipped with us. And they said, this is just like what I read in the Bible. And we study with other people and just give them this simple message. Here it is. I'm not teaching you anything that's not already in the Bible. And they said, it's so simple. I've never heard it like that. You know why? Because they are getting carried away by other trickery, other things, other gospels. But, says Paul in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. Have you been told the truth, the whole truth, and it wasn't really in love? Have you been told truth that way before? The truth that kind of, it was truth, but it kind of hit you right between the eyes, and you may not have wanted it. You know, Simon Cowell was famous in American Idol for doing that. I, you know, he's moved on to bigger and greater things, I guess, but you know, he was the one famous for telling you the truth. I don't think it was ever in love, but he told you the truth. There's that way of telling somebody truth, and then there's telling somebody the truth in love, right? Can you read the gospel message and not see the love of God in it? Can you look at the atrocities of the cross and that just the wickedness of sin and how ugly the cross was, but not see the love of God in that? And so when we preach the message and we talk to people, we have to demonstrate the love of God in that also. What did Christ say in John chapter, 13 and verse 34 and 35? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And they will know you are my disciples by what? Because you can quote every verse in the Bible. Because you can really whap up somebody ahead with the Bible. But by your love. Truth is important. Scripture is important. But it's not separated from love. It wasn't pinned. It was pinned in love. And for us to separate it from love would be an atrocity. And so it needs to be taught that way. It needs to be taught that way. In verse 16, from whom the whole body, talking about Christ, the whole body. Not just here in Palm Beach Lakes, you know, all over the world. I loved it when Dan said this, you know, on Sunday, and if you think about international datelines, God is worshipped for a full 24-hour period. Christians all around the globe, the body of Christ is worshiping God for a full 24-hour period. And more, maybe. Isn't that amazing? Even in Paraguay, it's happening right now. And so we are to be growing up, this whole body being fitted together, held together by what? By that which every joint supplies. What's that mean? Are you a part of the body of Christ? You are supplying that joint that we're all fitted together. And he says, reading on in verse 16, according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building of itself in love. What does that mean? If we are a body, the body communicates to itself, right? Just before we left Paraguay and we're coming here, it takes a while to get ready to be gone from your house for 9 weeks. You know, you have to pay bills in advance and that kind of thing. And the way you pay bills in Paraguay is you go to the actual place and you drive around from place to place. There's no, you know, before we left, we had it to where everything but our rent, we just paid online. It was just automatic. It happened. You know, there's no forgetting something. And so now we have to drive to every place and you pay those things in advance and you get everything ready. And there's a lot of stuff to get ready for being gone 9 weeks. Well, during that time, my body said, well, let's have a virus right now. Let's do that. It'll be profitable. It'll be great. So my body got a virus, and it told me I had a... The body has a way of communicating, right? When something's wrong, the body will tell you. Well, they didn't know exactly what it was, but they thought I had dengue fever, which is kind of going around down there right now. Dengue fever is also called breakback or broke bone fever. Because what happens is you get a fever and your body aches. Every joint in your back feels like somebody's just twisting it. It hurts. And that's kind of what the symptoms I was having at the time. And the more I moved and tried to work, the more and more it hurt. So I had to just lay down. The doctor said just lay down and rest for a day. They didn't know what it was, but I got over it. There's lots of crazy stuff down there. But it happened. So the body let me know that I was sick. Does it work that way in the church? Does it work that way in the church? Bishops, shepherds, do you know when the body's hurting? When members are hurting? Christians, brothers and sisters, do we know when one another we're hurting? Something's wrong, something's not right in the body. We know that. We should know that. But look at these words. Is this something, when you read verse 16, is something, well, here's what the whole church does. Or does it get personal here? How does it read? By that which every joint supplies, by the working of each individual part. That's personal responsibility. That means when I meet with the body, when the body comes together, I have a responsibility to be a part of that body, that assembly. That means when the body is hurting, I have a responsibility to be a part of that which fixes that body. And when the body needs built up, grown, and continue to be educated, I have a duty, a part to play in that role. Everybody's role may be different, but I have a part to play. I can't just come on Sundays and say and punch the check and say, I've been here, I've done that, I've done my part. That's not how a body operates. Does your body operate one day a week and maybe a little bit on Wednesday? That's not how my body operates. A body functions together. And so we're teaching a group in Paraguay how a body works. And I have been blessed beyond measure to be able to work with Palm Beach Lakes with a great eldership, with some good guys, Douglas and some other guys. And Dan, David, sorry, you didn't get that. Anyway, so we have been blessed to be working with Palm Beach Lakes and seeing how a body works, how it's supposed to work. And we, you know, we have problems from time to time. We're a family, but we work it out, right? You know, in Paraguay, you can't just say, I'll take my ball and go worship with this other place. You can't do that. You've got to work things out because there's not much down there. There are right now just around, as far as we know, in Asunción area, there are just around 100 Christians. And so word gets around when there's problems, right? And so we try and work those things out so that there isn't this disunity, but there is a building up of itself. Now look here in this last phrase in verse 16. Each individual part, a personal responsibility, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now how did we start this process in verse 11? How was the gospel message first preached on the day of Pentecost? The apostles, right, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And there were those who were inspired in the first century, and we have the penned words of those who taught and were instructed by God. We have God's message today. And we have those who go out and preach in different areas and different countries, and we have congregations that make that happen. And we work together in that capacity to teach the gospel. But in a local work, in a local area, what is the end result of a congregation? What is it supposed to do? What's the bottom line here in this verse? For the building up of itself in love. We are working in Asunción. We're there to help educate and build them up, provide them with the tools, the Word of God, and say, you can do it. God has every faith in you that you will handle aright His church, that you will handle aright His Word, and we'll help you do that. There are some great things happening in Paraguay. The church is maturing, is growing. We've purchased a building, and we'll be building on that soon. I don't know when. Paraguay has a different timetable than I do. But I don't know when that's going to happen, but it's going to happen soon. The church is excited. There's been a lot of members, a lot of people baptized just recently. There's a lot of excitement, and we're ready and great, excited to be back down there. But you make that possible. You know, there's goers and there's senders, and y'all make that possible for the work that's going on down there. But what are we trying to do? In a simple way, when I told you before, we're still learning what missionaries do. That meant nothing, by the way. When we're learning what missionaries do, on a day-to-day basis, we don't know what's going to happen. We have a general schedule, but we know what's going to happen. Care, for example, there was a lady whose mother was in the hospital, and she was very, very ill. And so Brittany died. Some of you know her, and Kara went to visit her in the hospital. Now, these hospitals aren't, social medicine. Social health care. So they're not the greatest. They're sufficient for what they have. But I kind of compare them to some of the horror movies of the old psychiatric wards. It's kind of what it looks like. It's kind of scary sometimes. But they went and we have a... As we go. And Kara went. And before they got there, this lady passed away. And so they spent the rest of the day just helping her get the funeral together. Pick out clothes. Go to the funeral director and make sure all that's ready. Make sure the body was ready for the viewing. And we went to the viewing that night, and they have an all-night vigil for the viewing. And Vivian had all kinds of questions about that body. Why'd they kill her? You know, that kind of thing. But you don't know what it, you know, you go and you work and you have an idea, but sometimes things change and you don't know exactly what your day-to-day is going to be. But you're helping them and helping them to understand that, they can do it. That they can do it. And you're a part of that. I cannot tell you how thankful we are to be a part of this body and to be working in Paraguay together this way, in this capacity. We, as Paul mentioned in this passage, we are working in Paraguay. Now there is, when we get to talk about the gospel, there's a responsibility that each one of us has to the church, and there's a responsibility each one of us has to examine the things that are in the Bible and decide whether or not I want to be a part of that body. We talked about the cross and the price that was paid for sin. How do I become a part of the body that works together in this way? Well, you need to believe that God sent His Son, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you need to repent of those things. We talked about how when you put on the new man, there's a process of coming out of the world and being washed. And you need to repent of those things and be put on Him in baptism, put on Christ, and be clothed in Him in baptism, and walk in newness of life. You walk a lighter life after that. You don't have the burden of sin that you bore once before. And there is a difference. This morning you have an opportunity, as always, not just in the morning time, in the middle of the night, whenever time that you need to put on Christ in baptism. The opportunity is now, as we stand together and as we sing.